everything you know will change.
I'd like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans, which means it's probably cold and raining outside. But you also know that it's time for The Rundown. Lots to recap, look forward to. Lots to look forward to here. A UNC Duke-flavored episode as we get ready for UNC versus Duke tonight at 6 p.m. Can the ACC get 3-1 seeds? We'll walk through how that could possibly happen. We'll take a look at the ACC tournament starting this Tuesday and try to figure out some seeding. Who are the most hated UNC and Duke players of all time? Is this the greatest rivalry, not just in college basketball, but all of sports? We'll tackle all of that as well. We look at some of the other big-time rivalries and compare. Plus, who's going to actually win this game tonight? And is Zion Williamson playing? We should have an update for you before we get off the air this morning. I believe around 11 a.m. Coach K is supposed to announce whether or not Zion will be available for this game or if they're going to hold him out. Should he actually even play again this season? Plus, we'll hear from UNCG men's basketball head coach and UNC alumni Wes Miller as he gets his Spartans ready for the SoCon tournament. This is The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by John Oshevsky, Rod Funderburk. Sawyer Dillon is our producer, intern Aaron in the house, man in social media, and you can go hit us up on Twitter right now at Sports Hub Triad with our call-in question of the day. Who wins today? Pretty simple. Third-ranked UNC or fourth-ranked Duke? Who you got? So go and check. Go and vote on that for us. Intern Aaron will give us an update on that poll a little bit later on in the show. But let's go ahead and kick it off, gentlemen. ACC basketball, UNC versus Duke. First things first, the biggest question that's out there, will Zion Williamson actually play today? I'm under the notion, I'm thinking he's not going to play because I think he's only practiced like twice and just had started doing full contact practices like yesterday or day before. Playing Carolina, who's like number two in like possessions per game or whatever. I mean, so fast paced, probably not the best time to come back from a sprained knee after you haven't played an official game and going on 3 weeks. But
I agree with you. I mean, there's no way he plays today. And, you know, it's not like they're playing, you know, like a Boston College or somebody, you know, where he can just play 10 or 15 minutes and just kind of, you know, get a feel back for his game. He's going to be playing North Carolina. He's going to go out there. And this is how he plays anyway, full speed ahead. And I don't think that would be good for him at all. So I don't see him playing. There's no reason for him to play tonight. But I think he's going to be playing in the ACC tournament. And you got to save him for the big one.
That's the question. Is he going to play in the ACC tournament next week? Because Duke has a double bye, so they won't play until Thursday.
It's tailor-made for him. He'll be ready first game back in the ACC.
Yeah, that is a good question. I mean, I actually have hope that maybe he'll show up tonight. I have hope that Coach K is playing a little coy with us because I would like for the Tar Heels to whip up on old Duke with Zion in the game. So there's no excuses at all.
And that's the thing that I'm finding
But they'll still have an excuse. Well, Zion's first game back. I mean, it's
it's always built in. I'm hearing from Duke fans since Carolina went to Cameron and won by 16 2 weeks ago, that game should have an asterisk beside it because Zion didn't play in it and they didn't have time to adjust, even though they had the whole game. Now I'm hearing the same thing for this game.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, well, it's a double asterisk because Zion's not playing.
That asterisk only means that Duke may have lost by 3 or 4.
Exactly.
Instead of 16. That's the only thing that asterisk means.
And it doesn't matter. It's still in the series. No one's going to, you know, in 2 years, probably next year, they won't even remember it. You know what? Because every game means so much, each and every game. No, Carolina crushed Duke in Cameron.
Well, they did.
You know, every team has injuries. I mean, I know Zion's probably the best player in the country. Well, I think R.J. Barrett is, but Zion, the most popular.
That's a discussion right there.
That is a discussion.
Absolutely.
That is a debate right there.
But every team's going through injuries. Look at Virginia Tech. Their point guard, their senior point guard, leading scorer has been out for the past like 5 or 6 games.
Justin Robinson.
You know, does anyone, they lost a couple games, but they're back in it.
They beat Duke. They beat Duke without him.
Yeah, they did, Johnny. And matter of fact, Johnny, something we talked about last week, man, Duke still has five All-Americans.
Well, if one goes down, there's still four All-Americans.
But this is my question. They said that Williamson suffered a grade one knee sprain. Were they lying to us? You know, because if a grade one knee sprain, I had a grade one knee sprain some years ago. I was probably about 17 years old at the time. But you know what? I didn't sit out not one game. I kept it moving. So, and that was football, which is a totally different sport. So my question is this. Were they lying to us?
I don't know so much if they're – I don't think they're lying. I think they're just – playing their cards close to the vest.
And protecting him.
Right. Okay. I don't think...
Well, I mean, I think he's going to get paid anyway if you're talking about protecting him from a money standpoint. Now, if you're talking about protecting him from an NBA career standpoint, that's different because I'm going to tell you right now, he came out of those shoes. Those were Nike shoes. Nike's going to give him a $100 million contract just from
somebody
that period.
Somebody will. Nike, Adidas, somebody's going to.
So the money there is not an issue from that side there. So maybe they're protecting him from his NBA career. I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt. Maybe mom and dad Zion are saying, "Hey, whoa, let's slow this down a little bit here."
And people need to remember, this kid is 6'7", 285 pounds. He should be playing left tackle for Duke, and he's playing. I don't even know if it's power forward, center. I don't even know really what his position is. I don't think they do either.
They don't.
But I mean, you have to understand just physically how it's different for a kid that's 6'7", 285 to come back from a knee sprain than it is a 6'2". 175-pound guard, you know, like it's just different. And he reminds me a little bit of Derrick Rose because of the way he plays. He plays violently. It's like everything is explosive. You know what I mean? Like how he gets off the floor, the way he runs, the way he blocks shots. Everything he does is an explosive type of movement. And that was early Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was the same way. He would drive to the paint, just reckless abandon, and just he looked like he was going to tear something every time he jumped. And then eventually he did. Yep. I've been worried about Zion's weight ever since we started talking about this kid. I always felt like he was going to have to lose about 20 pounds just to have a long NBA career.
No, you're exactly right.
He's carrying so much weight. I understand it's part of his game, but think of Zion 10 years from now, how his body's going to look when he's 28.
Yeah, hopefully he won't gain any weight because usually that's what happens.
He's got to. Yeah. I mean,
it'll be muscle.
Take it from me. The older you get, the more weight you're going to gain no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
So it's like I don't know.
And I think when he was playing before his injury, they kept saying he's 285, 285. There's no way. I believe that, and again, I don't know, but looking at him, God, he doesn't look 285.
No.
He looks like 270. And he probably did lose weight because he's been playing throughout the season and all that.
He's slimmer than he was in high school. I'll give him that.
With him sitting these last, 3 weeks, two weeks, I guarantee you he's gained some weight. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's picked up a pound or two. And, we're not talking about Zion being hurt because that's what we want, because you guys know as well as I know, this kid is phenomenal.
Oh,
he's great to watch. He's box office. And he is so hard to root against because he's such a good kid. He's not your normal Duke player that's just a villain.
No.
You know what I mean? And actually, that whole starting five, they're not villains like the Duke teams of old that we've seen.
They don't stay long enough to be villains.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're there for a year and they're gone, and then the next batch comes in.
And these guys are not whining. And most Duke players whine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the kind of wine you drink.
I know, but Des just made a great point. They're not there long enough for us to start hating them.
I mean, who was the last Duke player that we really, really, truly hated on in here? It was Grayson Allen.
Yeah, Grayson Allen was
guy.
The last one.
Because he gave us a resume of things to hate over the course of 4 years there.
But I think if Zion stayed another year and plays the way that he does, or even 2 years,
I still don't think
we hate him.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
if he doesn't change his attitude. You know, Grayson came in tripping people, whining to the refs, talking trash.
A traditional Duke player. Exactly.
Even Zion on the bench in his civilian clothes, he's smiling, he's cheering. He's got such a great attitude.
It's hard to root against him.
And I need to put a disclaimer before we go further in the show. If you tune into the show expecting some sort of biased reaction to Carolina Duke today, you are listening to the wrong show. I don't know if that's going to happen in here. That's fine, though, because we're proud of it. But I will say we will take an unbiased look at this game and kind of decide who we think can do what and what's going to happen. We do have one of our regulars on the line, Ed from Winston-Salem, calling in. He wants to chime in on North Carolina and Duke. Ed, you're on the line with the rundown.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, guys. I think Carolina... a win today. I think they're like a 3 to 3 and a point, a half point favorite. And regardless of Zion plays or not, he's not going to be in top physical shape. They're not going to be able to throw him out there for 35 minutes, you know, on a stretch run. If he did play, you know, it'd be a, you know, a few minutes at a time. And it'll be interesting to see if they start O'Connell or Jack White. Either way, it's going to be a mismatch because we know what happened in the paint the last ball game. And also, did you guys – I just saw on the Internet where Orlando Early, who used to be the assistant coach at NC State, has made a statement through his attorney that he gave two envelopes to Dennis Smith Jr.'s trainer. And so it looks like, you know, Godfrey, I know he's at Cal State Northridge now, so I don't know what they'll do there. But I think NC State is really going to get hammered here. What do you guys think about that?
Thanks for the call, Ed. For starters, your first question regarding what Duke's going to do in the paint to defend North Carolina. Actually, I'd written down on here, everyone was talking about, you know, what would Carolina do to defend Zion, but once Zion was not in the picture, no one ever really questioned what Duke was going to do to stop Luke May. I mean, 30 points, 15 rebounds without any kind of post presence inside. And I don't buy this notion that they can't defend anybody in the paint without Zion because they still have Marquise Bolden, who's almost a 7-footer, and they've got Javon Delorier, who's almost a 7-footer. They were like leading the country in blocks or something like that before Zion went down.
And Delorier is not a small guy width-wise.
No.
You know, he's a big guy, so if he gets in that middle, you know, he has an opportunity to make his presence felt there.
Luke May's 6'8".
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
And looking back on some, they actually broke that game down on ESPN a day or two ago where a lot of times it was ball movement. Carolina just zip, 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 moved the ball, and Duke was missing assignments. Like, I would watch Bolden leave his man to go to somebody else. The guy was supposed to switch, didn't switch, and Luke May's just standing there 2 feet from the basket, and there's nobody in front of him. And I'm like, how are you going to leave Luke May just sitting there? Not even like, it's not like you're leaving him open for three or something.
Yeah.
He's 2 feet from the basket, and there's no one in front of him.
Well, it's like you said, it was a strategy of ball movement, which reminded me of the game where the San Antonio Spurs played the Miami Heat for the second time of that championship.
That was frustrating to watch.
You remember they moved that ball?
That's a great comparison because Carolina leads the country in assists, close to 20 per game. That's for the whole country. And mentioned this on the drive this past week, but this might be one of the better passing teams I've seen that Roy Williams had. It's definitely the fastest, like in terms of
they
just
move the ball beautifully.
They don't care if they miss or not. If they miss, fine. We're going to get back or whatever, but they're going to crash the boards too. Yep. And I didn't realize how many teams do not crash the boards, especially when they're playing Carolina. They're so afraid to get ran out the building that they'll shoot and everyone takes off back towards the defensive end, like just trying to get ahead of them.
That's right.
But Coby White's still getting ahead of that. I'm watching this kid run past guys trying to outrun Carolina back down the court. It's just crazy to see like 3-4 Carolina guys just in a full sprint like down the court and scoring even on made buckets, which is nuts. Like the other team will score, they get it out the cup, they're gone. They go back down the court and they'll score in like 5 seconds and then the other team's like what?
Like you said, Kobe's right down the court. It makes you just wish that you were 18 and 19 years
old. Man, don't even get me started.
look how good they look in games. I'd love to go to a Tar Heel practice, and because you know Roy, that drill, run, 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 right out of the basket and just go. I mean, that's the kind of basketball I love. It's just grab the ball and go.
Yep.
None of this stopping and the dribbling. I mean, oh my gosh, these teams that are dribbling constantly,
ball stoppers. Yeah.
Throw the ball around. I mean, that's the only way you can beat a defense.
Zion
not being in the middle, I know he's only 6'7", 6'8", or whatever, but it's the space he takes.
It's all about the space. There's
and that's
a fear factor, too, with Zion. When he's on the court, it's not just the other teams that see him over there. It's the Duke kids, too, because we gotta be up front here. Duke does not look good when Zion Williamson's not out there. I've watched these five games just to kind of gauge what they are. Mm-hmm. We watched them struggle against Wake Forest the other night. I'm not sure if that shot would have counted looking back on it. It looked like he got out of his hand a little late. But even they shouldn't even been close.
They shouldn't even been that close
at that end or whatnot. They did beat who was the team that they
Syracuse.
Did beat? Syracuse. Oh, sorry.
They split Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse did beat them the first time.
Right. And away and away. So, I mean, I don't know. Just watching this Duke team, I'm trying to figure out where their scoring's coming from with no Zion out there because him and RJ are the two 20-point scorers, and Cam Reddish hasn't been consistent enough.
Trey Jones doesn't score. Trey Jones to win tonight, and I thought, you know, we're getting to that segment soon here, whatever. He's got to score 15 plus tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And honestly, Cam Reddish needs to score 20. Like, RJ's going to get 20 plus because they're going to feed him the ball every time.
Oh, RJ's going to get 30 points. Yep. You can bet on that because he's going to shoot it, you know, 40 times.
What does keys to the game? What does and Ed, we haven't forgotten your NC State question. We'll probably just get to it here a little bit in a couple minutes.
Yeah, that is a huge question that Ed brought up about State.
So drop that in our lap this morning.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the NCAA is right now, I'm sure they're going to do their whole investigation deal. But if that rings true, I definitely believe that NC State is going to get hit hard with the hammer, which that's something that I don't agree with because it happened under another coach. So in my opinion, you should always go and find the coach that it happened to, or better yet, find the perpetrators. And wherever they are, whether they're assistant coaches, grad assistants, whoever they are, and the NCAA should punish them, not necessarily the school.
It was still the program at the time, though.
I understand it was a program.
It's hard to look. I agree with you.
But there's an administration there. I mean, it's just like the UN coming down and punishing the United States as a whole for something that Nixon did years ago. That's not cool.
I always wondered how Dennis Smith Jr. ended up at NC State out of all places. Yeah. You know, like it looked like it just looked like it was out of place. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why is he there? And then he was out. He had one foot out the door as soon as he was there too. So,
How about the coach at LSU? Young guy, he's got LSU playing terrific basketball. Man, they're 25-5. They're giving Kentucky fits in the SEC.
Did they say how long he's suspended for?
Because I know he said indefinitely. But I mean, what is the deal with that? What is the deal with wiretaps? Because they said that's how they got this guy.
It's the FBI, man.
I understand it's the FBI, but there has to be something that alerts them. You know, the FBI is just not going to come to your house, my house, or Dez's house and say, hey, we're just going to wiretap you guys. Something had to have alerted them. And I wonder what something. That was.
Yeah, probably somebody tipped them off or, you know, somebody that didn't get paid. You know, it could have probably been a number of things, but the FBI probably got some sort of clue to start wiretapping certain guys. And I mean, the FBI is not going to do something like this unless they're pretty sure they can bring it in. It's not like local law enforcement. This is what these guys do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If the FBI says it's happening,
it's going down.
Oh, yeah, it's happening.
Godfrey might go to jail.
They know exactly.
I mean, looking at some of this other stuff, because the other guys got the guy earlier this week got convicted for it, right?
Yeah, good thing they got rid of when they did, I guess. They know what's going on. And matter of fact, they ask you questions not to get answers from you, but just to see what you're going
to
say.
But I hate it about, you know, I hate to see NC State get into this little problem again.
I do too.
Let's look at
it. Just kind of coming back.
Now, it's too close to home.
It's very close to home.
And then you start, you know, those arms start moving out. Well, you know, Duke's only 20 minutes down that way, and Chapel Hill's only 25 minutes that way.
Now, they're both Nike schools, but I think in this court document thing, they're saying that Nike schools were involved in this somewhat too. We've only seen the Adidas schools, NC State, Louisville, Miami. Yeah, so we'll hold our breaths on those. Now, in terms of the ACC regular season race today, this is what has to happen, basically. If UNC defeats Duke and Louisville defeats number 2 Virginia today, then Carolina will win the ACC regular season outright. If both Carolina and Virginia win, they'll be tied for first, and Virginia will be the one seed in the tournament with the tiebreaker because they beat Carolina in their one game they played this year. If they both lose, Carolina and Duke, then that means Duke would be the regular season winner. So they still have an outside shot to win the regular season if they handle their business and Virginia loses. Who is going to win the ACC regular season?
Well,
I don't have a lot of faith in Louisville. I'll start off with that.
Louisville's they are done.
It would be typical Louisville this year if they could go into Charlottesville and beat Virginia on senior night. Oof.
Did anybody see Virginia shooting three-pointers over that Syracuse zone on Monday? They were 18 for 24. They killed me.
Yeah, they hit like 9 in the first half.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was by three guys. Yes. All 18 were by the three guards or whatever.
Now, is that normal? Are they a good three-point shooting team?
They're
normally
a good.
They're pretty good, but they're usually not that good.
I mean, who could shoot like that? Yeah. But that scares me because, you know, to this day, even that Monday night, I'm looking at Virginia. I'm like, how are they so good? Now, then they start hitting threes, and, you know, everybody looks great. But here's a team that can score and play defense like that. You know, I got to start giving them credit, man. That they may be the best team in the country.
And I mean, and the thing about that game, Johnny, you know, I said it last Saturday, you know, my prediction was Syracuse beats Virginia to allow Carolina to be flat out number one in the ACC. And for one half, I was right.
Oh, it was a great,
because
it was a great
at halftime, it was what, 33-20?
We were up by
32?
2 points.
Yeah, yeah. So Syracuse up by 2 points at the half. I'm feeling pretty good. And then all of a sudden, Virginia comes out the second half and looked like they refreshed and they didn't miss anything. They were on top of their assignments. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Virginia is good.
I'm not giving up on the hope that, because me and Josh Graham do have a bet on who's going to win the ACC regular season, and the Triad's been keeping up with this. I picked North Carolina at the beginning of the year. He picked Virginia. Regardless of what happens today, I want to say that this might be one of the best coaching jobs Roy Williams has done, because I feel like I was one of the few people that said Carolina could win the regular season back in November. And I remember getting scoffed at, mocked, pointed at, laughed at, like, nah, look, did you see that Duke team down the street and all this other stuff? And Carolina's just gone out and handled business.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since they lost to Louisville by 20 at home, it's been a different team. The only loss they've had since then was to Virginia, who Johnny O just pointed out might be the best team in the whole country. Yeah. And even in that game, Carolina had them on the ropes in the second half until Cam Johnson twisted an ankle. And Nasir Little got a twisted ankle in that game. And he was out for like an 8-minute stretch in the second half when Virginia took control of the game and ended up winning.
Right.
And that it might end up being for the ACC for that game. So I'm proud of what they have done. I went to go look at see individual leaders in 3-point shooting. Kyle Guy is 10th in the country at 45.6% from the floor.
45% from three. Wow.
That's amazing.
In turn, Aaron.
Did you just put an asterisk on that Virginia win due to injury?
No, but I could have. See, that's it. I could have. I could have been like, well, we won that game, but everybody got hurt and we didn't win.
No, we lost.
So
period.
You can, so that's, you got the asterisk. It's not going to count. I don't do that. Like, I mean, we've had hurt people all year. We've had people that have been injured all season long, and it's got to be next man up. That's why I don't like it when your team is top heavy and you're dependent on one guy. That one guy goes down,
it's over.
And what's happened with Duke, in my opinion, they had a lot of warts, but Zion Williamson's the ultimate Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Like, he covered everything up that they were having issues with.
Yeah, he was a big patch.
We knew they couldn't shoot. Yeah. We knew they couldn't shoot threes. We knew they couldn't shoot free throws.
That's right.
And you knew basically you just had to make one of them be the scorer, RJ or Zion, and then you had a shot. And now with him out, they don't have a lot of options after that. So Carolina just needs to play Carolina's game. They don't have to do anything different than what they did the last time. They shot like not very good in Cameron when they won by 16. I don't think Cameron Johnson hit a three in that game.
No, I don't think he did. I think we only hit two threes the whole game.
Yeah, that was horrible for both sides.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I think it was like five hit total for both teams or something.
Definitely.
Kobe White had a horrible game.
No,
he did. So the perimeter guys for Carolina played horrible.
Oh, all the freshmen played horrible, in my opinion. But to answer your question, Dez, I think at the end of the ACC season, which ends tonight, I think the record will be tied. There will be two number ones. It will be tied. It will be Virginia and Carolina. They will be tied by number one. Now, I don't want to talk about tiebreakers. I'm talking about just the actual record. Wins and losses in the ACC, I believe they will be tied. We understand what happens with tiebreakers and all that crazy stuff. But I don't really like that, because with the tiebreaker, Carolina and Virginia only played one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd be nice if they played twice. But they didn't. That's fine. Whatever. But I think the record will be tied. I think Duke will be second, of course. And, I think then we move into the ACC tournament. I pray that Carolina does not win the ACC tournament. I want us to go pretty deep in the ACC tournament, but I don't want us to win the ACC tournament. And you may ask why. Why would you not want them to win? Because every time Carolina wins the ACC tournament, we get knocked out of the NCAA tournament.
Right. The 2016.
And when we go fairly decent in the ACC tournament or do okay, then we've had a record of winning the NCAA tournament.
I did see a stat that I thought was really interesting. In terms of Carolina-Duke, the rivalry is great, and we're going to talk about, is there a greater rivalry here when we come back from our break. But the second game is usually the key indicator of who's going to go further. Typically, whoever wins the second game between Carolina and Duke goes further in the NCAA tournament than the team that lost.
Yes.
I think in the past 9 or 12 years or something, like 9 or 10 times, the team that won that second game advanced further. And usually the team that lost that game didn't get past like the round of 32. So like they lose second round or Sweet 16 in that area there. So we'll see. We'll see what it is. But real quick, because I'm way up against a break, but I wanted to let you guys know what else is going on. There's other games going on in the ACC today.
Is there?
Number 14, Florida State, traveling down here to Winston-Salem to the Joel to take on Wake Forest. That is a 12 o'clock tip. That is on ACC Network. Also at 12 o'clock, Johnny O, Syracuse Orange trying to get a decent seed in the NCAA tourney, taking on a feisty Clemson team. Clemson's fighting for their life now, too. That's at Little John, so that's on the road. That's at 12 o'clock noon today. Notre Dame taking on Pittsburgh at 12 noon in Pitt. And at 2 o'clock, another team fighting for their lives, the NC State Wolfpack, who I've said I don't think they're going to get in. I think they're going to lose this game to Boston College today at 2 o'clock.
Do you really?
I do. I do not trust NC State whatsoever.
But, I mean, if they win, then they're 9-9 in the ACC.
At 21-10.
They might sneak in.
I think they might be okay. And then at 4, that begins the doubleheader. Louisville traveling to number 2 Virginia. So when they tip off in the Dean Dome at 6 o'clock, they'll have an idea of what they're playing for. If Virginia wins, Carolina can win in time. They'll lose the tiebreaker. If Virginia loses, all bets are off, because then Duke versus North Carolina becomes for the ACC regular season crown. So let's take a quick break. Next, when we come back, a little barbershop talk. Is there a greater rivalry in all of sports than UNC versus Duke? We'll take a look at some other rivalries and see if they compare. Chime in, 336-777-1600 or at Sports Hub Triad. Talk to us there and let us know what you think about the greatest rivalries in sports. Barbershop talk next on The Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Barbershop talk brought to you by Havoline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Havoline Express Lube of Kernersville for all of your automotive maintenance needs. You are listening to The Rundown. Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Rod Funderburk, intern Aaron, Sawyer Dillon in the house. A rainy Saturday, but a good Saturday, a blessed Saturday, because it's Duke Carolina part two. I think I know what everybody in the state's going to be doing at 6 o'clock tonight. But this talk about Carolina and Duke today. Now, granted, right now, the makeup of where we are studio-wise, of course, you know, me and Rod are full-fledged Carolina junkies. Rod graduated from Carolina. Johnny O is a Syracuse guy, but he's never hid his disdain for Duke. Which I can totally understand. I don't know where you guys stand in the in the booth. Sawyer, do you have a rooting presence for either one, Duke, Carolina?
Oh yeah, I've been Carolina fan since day one, out of the womb.
Oh well, okay then. No, yeah, I like that.
My first outfit was a Jordan Carolina jersey. Two days out.
Nice. So I didn't plan it to be. I was actually going to ask Chris Lee to come in here to balance it out, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. We deserve this. We deserve this day today, and hopefully it plays out where they actually finish this with a win, or we're all going to look silly when we look back on the show. Aaron, who's Duke Carolina? Do you have a preference either one? Or
I hate everybody.
See, that's the kind of petty I'm here for on a Saturday morning. So that works out for this particular segment here. And I want you guys' input on this as well. What are the best rivalries in all of sports? So not just college, not just college basketball, but overall, because I have said that Duke Carolina is the best rivalry in all of sports because of the fact that they're both good. People know I don't like Duke, but I'll respect Duke for what they accomplish and what they do. They're a great team. They're a great program. Kay is a great coach. But you need a spotter if you're going to lift more weights when you go to the weight room. And Carolina and Duke are spotters for each other. Like, they would not be as successful without the other, in my opinion. And the fact that they're only 8 miles away from each other, these kids go to the same barbershops, the same malls, the same McDonald's. They hang out. They know each other. So to me, it's like, that part of it and the success that they've had. Carolina just won a title in 2017. Duke won one 2 years earlier in 2015. Carolina won one in 2009. Duke won it in 2010. A lot of times, whenever one of them gets to the Final Four or the national championship game, the other one gets there the next year. That got broken in 2016-17 because Carolina went both years. But just curious, we'll start this off kind of roundtable wise. Name some rivalries that you would put up against Carolina and Duke. And I'll start off with Johnny O.
All right. I'll name a few here. You know, Michigan State, Ohio State, always a great football game. But, like we were talking, I think, off the air, Ohio State has ruled that little series, I think.
Lately, yeah. Has Harbaugh beaten Ohio State yet?
I don't think
so.
No, he has not. You know, and then you got Alabama, Auburn. I mean, that's a huge game. And I'm trying to think, like, the whole country thinking about this. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm from up in the Northeast, so I'm going to try to make a point in a second here. I was, you know, the Lakers and Celtics were, I mean, what a rivalry that yes. was, but it was. It's no longer, and it's gone.
I was hoping it was going to be back with LeBron in L.A., Kyrie in Cleveland, Kyrie in Boston. Yeah. It kind of wrote itself, and now it looks like they might end up being on the same team again next year anyway, so
exactly.
I don't know.
So that's gone, but I mean, I tell you what, that was a terrific rivalry. You know, Packers and Bears, big deal. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
They see each other twice a year regular season, just like Carolina Duke. But a lot of times, one of those teams is down, the other one is up.
Oh, yeah, so. You're right. And, you know, then I look at, you know, cross country, I'm thinking UCLA, USC, that's kind of just dwindled down to really nothing.
I don't even know if either one of those teams are going to make the NCAA tournament.
I know.
I haven't even looked at
it. Struggling, but,
UCLA
you know,
was ranked at the beginning of the year because Carolina played them.
And USC's more of a football school, if anything, and they've been down in football, too, you know.
Yeah.
So. To get to the point here, the only two rivalries that really can go together, I mean, Red Sox and Yankees is a rivalry, will always be.
Yeah.
You know, it's been for like 100 years now.
But that one's kind of dwindled some, too, hadn't it, or not?
No.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, they still have that. It's burning still the fire of a million suns,
you know, Yankees,
I mean, Red Sox, but Boston's really taken over.
They've taken over. Yeah. Since 2000. So I mean, it's
which pretty long time there. Since 2000. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I kept thinking, and me being from the Northeast, and you know, the whole Duke Carolina rivalry. I'm thinking, man, you know, do people in Michigan care about the Duke Carolina rivalry? You know, the other side of the country, Syracuse Georgetown was a huge rivalry for me. You know, and I always was thinking, you know, that was a great, and it was, but that's gone too because the Big East is gone. So I am going to say, now that I've lived here and seen this Duke Carolina rivalry, and I see the numbers are ridiculous. I mean, the last 103. Times they played, it's like 52-51, and points wise, it's like a 3 or 4 point difference. Like
regardless of the team's records,
like 7,805 to 7,802. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable how close it is. So I'm about ready to say that the Duke Carolina rivalry is the greatest sports rivalry of all time.
You just need a little
push.
But
that Red Sox Yankees is just. It may have dropped just a morsel to make Duke and Carolina the number one. But that's I got to say, it's a special – I mean, today I'm excited about it. And my team's playing at noon today, but I'm excited about the Duke Carolina game.
Yeah. Red Sox-Yankees is a good comparison because, like Duke Carolina, both the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees have kind of dominated the sport they're in terms of titles and division titles and superstars. Always in the news. They kind of make the gears go in terms of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is better when both Boston and New York are good.
They love it.
So same with Carolina Duco would say. Yeah. What say you, Ron?
Now, Johnny had mentioned a rivalry that I thought was a great one, which is the Ohio State and Michigan rivalry. And, of course, you know, legendary Buckeyes coach, what is it, Woody Hayes?
Yeah.
He said, you know, back in 1968 at the end when they had won 50-14 over the Michigan Wolverines, you know, his team went for a two-point conversion. And so the media came out and they asked Woody, they said, dude, you're winning 50-14. Why do you go for two? And Woody goes, because I couldn't go for three. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God,
That's when the intensity really just got heated between those two schools. And, of course, you know, we have Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh who are there now. Or Urban Meyer's moved on, of course. But Jim has been unable to really make a rivalry out of it these days. But that's when that one started. And I thought that was such an awesome story to that.
See, I love that kind of petty. I am here for the petty. That kind of pettiness is what I enjoy. And I wish more teams that I root for had coaches that could be on the same level of petty as Woody Hayes. That's good.
But, you know, when it comes to rivalries, you know, I'm going to go way back in time. And I think intern Aaron will appreciate this rivalry here. And this is a one-to-one rivalry, not even a team rivalry. But I'm talking about a rivalry that consisted of Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier.
Ooh.
And, you know, these guys fought three times. And I'm sure intern Aaron is going to want to chime in this one because he's a huge boxing fan and he's a huge Muhammad Ali fan. But, I mean, this bout or these bouts, you know, these guys at one point were both undefeated. You know, it was the mouth in Ali and then, of course, Smoking Joe Frazier. You know, they were both – I mean, it was like they hated each other. And when they came in that ring, they fought with such a ferocity that you just gave chills up and down your spine. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I wasn't alive to see it or wasn't old enough to see it, but I did see old films and old clips of it. And these guys, especially that Thriller in Manila, oh, my God, that is one of the most brutal and hardest fought, you know, bouts I have ever seen in my life. And I think both of these guys were probably the greatest heavyweight sluggers of all time. And I mean, they fought each other to the point where when they were fighting and you looked at them on film, it was like they were just saying, the only way you're going to beat me is if you kill me.
Yeah.
And to me, that is a heck of a robbery.
That's a great robbery.
That's a good one. Aaron, you want to chime in on that?
I think he hit the nail on the head. Ali Frazier was huge. I mean, they even billed it. The first fight is the fight of the century because you had Muhammad Ali, who had been exiled for his political stance. And then you had Joe Frazier, who had become the heavyweight champion in his stead. And Muhammad was very adamant about, look, nobody ever beat me. You know, I'm still the champ. I'm the real champion. You all know who the real heavyweight champion of the world is. And Joe Frazier was no slouch. You know, Joe Frazier, in his own right, God bless both their souls, was an incredible fighter. Mm-hmm. So for Joe Frazier to get the best of Muhammad the first bout, and then for Muhammad to come back and win the next two bouts, and he mentioned the Thriller in Manila, which back in those days, I don't think people understand. They went 15 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 15 rounds at heavyweight. So those were grueling fights, and Muhammad Ali was quoted as to say, you know, that was as close to death as I've ever been. And just while I got the mic, I would be remiss among rivalries not to mention Chiefs Raiders. I know the Raiders haven't been good as of late, but that's just, I got to. As a Chiefs fan, we still hate the Raiders.
Now, the Raiders haven't been good. What about the Chiefs? They haven't been very good either, have they?
We have the reigning NFL MVP. The reigning and defending NFL MVP.
I do need to mention, since we're talking about rivalries, and me and my wife have been watching like this stuff nonstop for the past week and a half. It's not sports, but one of the greatest rivalries ever, the Notorious B.I.G. versus Tupac Shakur. Yeah. Today is March 9th. It's a 22-year anniversary of the death of Notorious B.I.G. I've been watching Unsolved and all this stuff on Netflix for like the past week and a half. So I'm waking up with like Biggie in my head like every day, every morning. So I had to mention that. For me, I think John hit a lot of the ones I was going to say, mm-hmm. but there's one I think we're all forgetting that's probably one of the biggest ones right now. That's one of the best rivalries in sports to me. That's Clemson versus Alabama.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Good point.
It's they're both evenly matched, especially this past time around. I mean, look at the setup. They treated Alabama like they were the greatest team of all time, all the way until they got punched in the face by Clemson. But Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right.
And Alabama got punched in the face and could not react to it, and no one expected Clemson to beat them the way they did. And that's the second time in 3 years that Clemson has done that to Alabama. So now it's officially a rivalry to me. Like before it was
Great call on that.
Yeah. 1-1. Yeah. Now Clemson has the upper hand. You got a Heisman hopeful in Tua over at Alabama. You got a Heisman hopeful at Clemson. What's your quarterback's name again?
They're close together. Yeah.
Sawyer.
Oh, no. I was just going to go with one of my rivals real quick whenever you guys were finished. But I'll hit it real quick. I got to say, I know we're talking about mainly, you know, USA, but I would say the biggest sports rivalry of all time, if not, you know, I think I'm a little biased, so I would obviously say Duke, Carolina. But I think the biggest one in the world right now has to be Real Madrid and Barcelona soccer.
Oh, you're gonna bring some.
I think that's gonna take the cake. Just
football, some football into it.
Everyone across the seas has got their favorite pick of. I mean, even here, like USA, everywhere you go, I think someone will pick either Barcelona or Real, and it's like one of the most watched games every time they play each other.
I gotta give soccer some props. I don't watch it, stadiums. But I used to, especially like back in high school. I was all about soccer and kind of learning the rules and everything else. Probably because I was trying to talk to random girls from the girls' soccer team at the time. But
a friend of mine got me into soccer a few years ago, I guess when the World Cup or whatever it is was going on during the summertime.
Yeah.
And then I forgot her name, but I think she was a soccer goalie, and she had just beat up her somebody. I don't know if it was her.
Oh, yeah, Hope Solo.
Hope Solo. Yeah. So that's
during the summertime. I watched it when the girls were playing. A couple few years ago.
Mia Hamm and all those girls from back then. Yeah, the women's soccer team for the United States is great. The men, not so much.
But definitely.
So, but I mean, that's enough for soccer now. Let's move on.
But Dez, to answer your question, the quarterback is Trevor Lawrence.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's
set up
Clemson,
that's
Alabama,
set up for the next four or five years. Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's the closest thing I can think of to just like comparing pedigrees. And Clemson had to travel a road to get to where Alabama is. And Alabama, honestly, they needed a spotter. They needed somebody out there to keep them on their toes, mm-hmm. or they were going to fall back to the pack. So I think it's best for both schools. I really don't see either coach retiring anytime soon. Dabo's like 50, 51, so mm-hmm. he's going to be around for at least a decade.
And as an outside fan, because I'm not a fan of either one of them, I do like Clemson. I mean, I was rooting for Clemson. I want to see them play again
Me
in the
too.
Championship
yeah,
game.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's a serious rivalry.
And I can't say that it'll happen the same when they play again. I mean, it could be Alabama beating the brakes off of Clemson the next time, or it could be a close game like the first time. So, I mean, that's the best matchup right now to me outside of Duke Carolina. I am hopeful Lakers-Celtics gets back around.
I hope that will, too.
Because the NBA is way better when the Lakers and the Celtics are good, and I think that was the entire thought process with Kyrie going to Cleveland. I mean, I keep saying to Cleveland, to Boston, and LeBron going to L.A. I don't even have really in here too much about what's happening with L.A. and LeBron and minute restriction now.
They're done.
I mean, they got, like, what, 16 games to go or something? They're like six games back.
Yeah, before you go that far, though, I'd like to add one more rivalry, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, I can't leave this show without mentioning my Cowboys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I can't
Man,
do
who's
that.
Their biggest rival?
The world?
Well,
Cowboys versus world?
Very true,
Cowboys
Johnny.
Versus America?
Everybody hates the Cowboys. So, I mean, we have
America
a bunch,
hates America's
We have
team.
A bunch of rivalries, exactly. We have the Eagles, we have the Skins, and, of course, we have the Steelers.
So what's the biggest one for Cowboys?
To me, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's the Redskins. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. Cowboys have pretty much dominated that rivalry. However, the two times that we've met in the playoffs, the Redskins have beat the Cowboys. Mm. And I think what makes that rivalry go is the fans. Because believe it or not, I don't know if you guys ever been in a store with a Cowboy or anywhere with a Cowboy and a Redskins fan.
Oh, gosh.
And then you hear them start talking back and forth to each other. Have you guys not ever heard that? And you just swear, oh, God, there's getting ready to be a fight. There has been many a times I've been in places and I've seen another Cowboys fan and another Redskins fan go at it. And I don't chime in just for the simple fact that they sound like they're about to come to blows at any given point.
See, oh, my God. That's so different from, like, if a Carolina fan and a Duke fan see each other. Like, because like today, like I'll be in a gas station or something. I'm wearing a Carolina sweatshirt. And like I'll be in a gas station or a McDonald's or something random. And someone will, because of today and what's going on, someone will point at my shirt and either say, I like that shirt, or mm-hmm. you need to change that shirt to a darker shade of blue or something. Yep. And it kicks off a conversation. But it's never, I never think that I'm going to have to punch this person in the face because of what they're saying. You know, it's usually cordial. Yes, usually.
Exactly. I'm the same way I can have on my Carolina stuff, and you're exactly right. But when I wear my Cowboy stuff, if I run into a Redskins fan, it's never, oh, you need to change that. It's something about them punk so-and-so Cowboys.
I hate you.
Okay, what? But, you Redskins? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, angry with each other.
Yes.
But I hear you real quick. Rod, I hear you on that, but I'm looking at the rules that Dez came up here, and rivalries mean winners. So
I'm
not sure if we can include the Cowboys or the Redskins.
Well, we have been winning that rivalry, though. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all been beating each other, yeah. Cowboys haven't last playoff game Cowboys won? You know what it is.
This past year.
Oh, they did win a play. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Can't use that season. Joke anymore. Oh,
you can't use it. Come on.
The Redskins,
How
though.
How quickly you guys forget. Now, wait a minute. In January, you guys were like.
I forgot, man. I totally forgot.
In January, you guys were like, Rod, the Cowboys look good. We may have to come join you. And oh my God, it's not even 90 days later.
We jumped off that train quick.
Oh my God.
We are out.
Training camp's right around the corner.
Aaron, do you guys see what I'm dealing with in here? Can you believe this?
Sawyer, you got something you want to say.
Hey, my last one I was thinking of, I mean, I was remember 2-3 years ago, we were talking, you know, Warriors, LeBron, like that could be the NBA. Right. Do we think that, you think that's over? Or do you think we could see that come back again if he can bring a team to, like, you know, West Coast Finals.
I was going to write that on here, but I didn't know how to write it because I was going to say Golden State Cleveland because they saw each other four times in the finals and it was turning into a Lakers Celtics type thing. Then they broke up the Cavs. I don't know if you can say LeBron versus Golden State because has LeBron really even played them as a Laker yet? Because he was out that Christmas game when the Lakers blew out Golden State. That's when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Have they really played each other like that so far? Or it feels weird. They haven't really hyped that up. Or they played him a lot while he was out. Or I don't know. I'm worried about the Lakers. I'm not really sure if it's going to build to a point where the ships are at the same level. You know what I mean? I think the Warriors are going to be declining over the next couple of years. And hopefully the Lakers will be It doesn't. That's yeah, Johnny. Yeah, like, he's like, I don't think that's going to happen.
But LeBron's going to be, you know, in a couple, 3 years, I mean, he's finally going to start showing his age. I mean, oh, my God.
He might be a little bit right now.
I think he was hurt, though, guys. And I think he takes care of his body. And if we get him for a season that he's not hurt and maybe he has a couple of pieces, I think he can do well. But to me, he just doesn't have the right fit around him right now.
That's actually a good segue. Let's take a quick break because we've been up against the breaks all morning already.
Do we have time to mention one more rival? Just to mention it.
Go ahead.
Miami Hurricanes and the Florida State Seminoles.
I was going to put them there too, but for the same reasons that neither one have really.
I mean, lately they haven't, but I mean, you go back in the days, that was one of the best rivalries out there.
I just love it. I'm hoping
to win
they
the state of Florida.
I hope they get back to what it was because that made college football great too.
Kentucky Louisville basketball.
Oh, definitely.
That's a good one too.
That's great.
Give us some of your opinions on sports at Sports Hub Triad on Twitter, some of the greatest rivalries in all of sports. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll actually talk a little more NBA action. Charlotte was in action last night right here on the Sports Hub versus the Wizards. We'll catch up with the Hornets, who had fallen out of the playoff picture up until the tip last night. Where are they now? Plus, dynasties come and go. Is this the year a team knocks off the Golden State Warriors? The Rockets seem to be emerging as that squad with a healthy Chris Paul finally. Plus, as we mentioned, King James, he's now on a minutes restriction apparently. Have the Lakers waved the white flag? We'll catch up on the NBA next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Gonna be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
For the latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more, visit SportsCarolinaMonthly.com for coverage of your favorite local teams, mid-majors, exclusive stories from our staff of writers, audio, and video content. SportsCarolinaMonthly.com, your source for Carolina sports. Follow us on Twitter at SportsCarolina1 or on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsCarolinaMonthly. Don't miss news daily at SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. We got some tickets that are going to be coming up here soon. Our annual Winston-Salem Dash deal, where you'll be able to get Dash tickets for $7. They're the $11 seats that I think they're right behind home plate. And we'll have those throughout the season.
Those are good seats, too.
Yeah, they're great seats. I believe we're going to have tickets for the Winston-Salem Wolves available, too. The new East Coast Basketball League franchise that's here in Winston-Salem. Shout out to our good buddy Marcus Shockley, who's the owner of the franchise. I think we're going to have some tickets available there, like $5 tickets. And some other things too that we're working on, so we'll keep you posted on that. Meanwhile, the Charlotte Hornets, the remaining entire season, will be broadcasted by the Sports Hub, including playoffs if they make it in. WSJS Sports Hub is your new exclusive home for Charlotte Hornets basketball. Hornets take on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Eastern Conference leading Milwaukee Bucks at 9 p.m. right here on the Sports Hub. I practiced that in the mirror like 15 times when I wrote this out. It's almost like you have to kind of trick your tongue into it's like a dance move. I'm Antetokounmpo. So the Hornets took on the Wizards last night. Let's take a quick gander on what they did. I believe they won. But they are in like 10th place. They won by one. 112 to 111 was the final score, defeating the Washington Wizards. Charlotte has lost five of their past six games. All of them were at home. Like, these are games they needed to really make that push to kind of move up into the seventh or sixth, and they've lost all of them except for last night. Marvin Williams was in a slump, but he had a great game last night. He had seven three-pointers.
Did you see that tip-in dunk by any chance he had? He had a big old
I'm happy for him.
Dunk.
7 for 10 from behind the arc yesterday. 7 rebounds, too, for Marvin, the 32-year-old grizzled vet. And they defeat the Washington Wizards. I'm looking at the standings here. The Hornets are in 10th place right now.
Let me interrupt for 1 second. I did just get this, and I can't believe we forgot this. Just two more rivalries. My brother, Rick, who's listening in Syracuse, New York
What's up?
On our app.
Is he Rick O? Or?
Rick O. Slick O.
Slick Rick O.
Yeah.
Look what we forgot. Army-Navy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big
one.
And Harvard and Yale. You got
Harvard, yeah.
Those are good.
The Ivy League rivalry.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on anything we've discussed so far this morning. Carolina Duke. Greatest rivalries. And right now, our poor Hornets, they are in 10th, but I'm looking at – okay, so the Heat are in 8th right now, who the Hornets lost to the other night. They're 31-34, but they've won 4 games in a row themselves. The Magic are in the 9th spot at 31-36, so they're like a game back of the Heat. Then the Hornets are at 10th at 30-35. So they're – They're like a game back under 500. Because they've had this like 5-6 game losing streak at home. Because really all year it's been like Charlotte wins one, they lose one. They win two, they lose two.
Man, it's hard to be a Hornets fan right now.
It's very hard. Like I'm trying to do this, and like I like the fact Miles Bridges is starting right now. They finally put him in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I think they benched MKG, and now he's not even playing in some of these games. I don't even know if he played last night. Aaron,
don't want to interrupt you, but breaking news: Zion Williamson is officially out for today's game.
Wow. Thank you. I was going to ask you about that because we're right here on 11 o'clock.
He was playing.
Good call.
I was hoping he was going to play too. I ain't gonna lie. I want to see the kid play. And we said this the first game. I thought it would be a measuring stick for Carolina to play Duke at top strength.
Exactly.
But will I sit here and be like, oh, well, if we beat them, it's not going to be a big deal, and I'm not going to make a big fuss about it? Hell no.
It's Duke.
It's Duke. It's still on. And if they show up to play, we'll give them a game.
That's right. And we still burning the couches on Franklin Street, baby.
All night long. We ain't swept Duke in how long? I don't care how we get it. So that's fine with me. Whatever, Zion. Okay, well, maybe we'll see you next week at the ACC tournament, and we can do this. But
Dez, I guarantee you they're blocking Franklin Street off right now. And let me tell you something. When we beat Duke, you better not have your car on Franklin Street.
Yeah. Get it out of the way.
Because it will be not there or unidentifiable when you get back. Trust me.
Let's feel bad, though. I mean, Duke only, you know, what do they got left? They got R.J. Barrett, who's going to be the number two pick in the NBA. Cam Reddish, who's going to be the number four pick in the NBA. Trey Jones is going to be a 13 pick.
Poor Duke.
You know, Marquise Bolden, he's only 7 feet, 260, you know.
Poor Duke.
Oh, no.
What are they going to do?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait, they got Jack White, so he'll go 0 for 11.
Hey, he's not. He's hitting threes again.
He's been improving, actually.
He's hitting threes again.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty good the last couple
of
games.
That was ridiculous, this Jack White watch. He's 0 for 28 from three. Like, why is he even out there playing still? And, like, everyone's like, oh, I hope he hits a three. And then he hit that first three. And and Cameron the other night.
They went crazy.
People went nuts. They're like, oh, Jack White, he's hitting threes.
He's back
like,
home, baby.
Dude, y'all are losing games. Cut it out. Y'all can't shoot threes anyway. All right, let's get back to the badness that's the Charlotte Hornets. I don't know. Probably seeing Giannis and the Bucks tonight wasn't the best situation for the Hornets because the Bucks are killing it right now. I think they got the best record in all of basketball. They do, 49-16.
Yeah, and to me, Giannis should be up for MVP, man.
Oh, absolutely. I think he should be the front runner.
He is awesome, man.
Milwaukee's kind of built like some of these other teams we've talked about, like Sacramento, where they got a lot of like good players, but they've got that one guy that you can give it to in crunch time to go get it. Yep. And people can't figure out how to defend him. Like
not at all.
He's like, he's tall, he's big, he can jump out the gym.
And you know what I like about him, too? He's got a little nastiness to him.
He do.
Oh man, if you see some of the things that he looks at guys and says, or he'll lean himself up against you when he dunks in and then looks at you like, "What you gonna do?" Oh man, I love
Without
that kind of nastiness. Yes,
Without
exactly. Yeah,
and, you know, someone compared him with, and at first I did, with a Tim Duncan type player, not the style, but his personality style.
Yeah, I got you.
Leader, everyone loves him on the team. Yeah. He does whatever it takes to win. That's all he's worried about, and he's not a prima donna. You know, and he is a superstar.
And he wasn't even like a top five pick or anything. He was like a mid first round guy or something like that. Nobody knew who he was, and he's blossomed into a top three NBA player, I think, at this point. Aaron.
The Hornets actually match up really well with the Bucks. I know the Bucks are like the best team in the NBA, but this would be the third time they played, and they're 1-1 in the season series.
Say, yeah, we did beat them once.
They lost the first time by 1 point.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's 9 o'clock tonight on the Sports Hub, so definitely check that out. The Hornets need a win bad to be able to stay on pace with the Heat and Magic. Now, the Brooklyn Nets, they're in the sixth spot right now, and they're 34-33. So it's not like this is like. Like it's even though the Hornets have lost, they're 3-7 in their past 10 games, they're still right there in that spot. I would think that if they get in, it'd be better to go to the seventh seed and play. Well, actually, based on what Aaron just said, it might be better if they get in as the eight and take on Milwaukee as the 1-8 matchup wise, because I don't think they really match up as well against Toronto, who's in the second seed right now. Over in the Western Conference, the Warriors defeated the Nuggets last night. Last night, Klay Thompson came back and hit like 7 threes or 9 threes or something crazy.
Yeah, he started off on fire.
He was 9 for 11 from three.
When he comes out like that, Klay Thompson scores the most points for anybody I've ever seen that takes the least amount of dribbles. Like he just
doesn't have to catch
and shoot.
I mean, that's an art.
And I'm going to tell you what, when you get him started early, he really does well. Yeah, like, he plays his whole game. Because I don't know if you saw it last night, but he had a couple of steals early, from behind.
He and he's great on defense, too.
He is. He is.
It's funny to me when people are like, oh, Klay Thompson, he's going to go to the Lakers. He's going to go here or there. Why? Like, why would he break up the Splash Brothers and leave Golden State? Doesn't make any sense if they're going to pay him.
Unless they just throw money at him.
They're going to pay him the max because they're about to open a new arena next year anyway. But Kevin Durant, I don't know. Because that dude's just wired different. I don't know what he's going to do. He could stay and win another title. He could leave.
Either he or Draymond Green leaves next year.
Well, if Draymond leaves, I don't think it's by choice. I don't think it's by choice if Draymond leaves. I think it would be more the team saying, okay, we're having to choose who to give this money to, and we'd rather give it to KD than to Draymond. Because we can replace Draymond. You can't replace Kevin Durant.
I don't want to see that broken up. I mean, I absolutely enjoy watching them play basketball. And you were just saying about Klay Thompson, Steph Curry just feeding him wherever he's at.
That's what I love. Like, Durant, when one of them is hot, they look for each other.
Cross-court passes to Klay Thompson to take the three.
I'm sorry. I hold
that.
Grudges. Sorry. I do not want to see them do well. I mean, I know they're good, but I do want to see the team break up. I just hold grudges. I'm sorry.
Now, they could just actually.
And my grudge is against the organization.
Who, Golden
State?
Against
the organization.
Yeah.
Why? For what?
Because of Mark Jackson.
Oh, you're still. That's right. You don't like the fact that they
hold
that
grudges. Was,
yeah, I mean, that's his team. That's kind of like the whole. What's his name? The Bulls. The guy that was the coach before.
Thibodeau?
No, back in Jordan days.
Doug Collins.
It's like a Doug Collins, Phil Jackson situation.
Yeah,
because they built the team. I mean, he pretty much had the same squad his last year. They let him go, brought in, let Phil Jackson take over, and it was on from there.
Number one, I agree with you. I'm a Mark Jackson fan. Okay? And maybe I loved him when he played for St. John's, for crying out loud. But I loved him. And then when he went to Golden State and was doing such a terrific job.
They had their best record at the time under him and got let go. Now, maybe if Mark Jackson was coaching somewhere else, I would feel different.
Would you
maybe.
Rather him be coaching or in the booth?
That's the point I'm getting to. Okay, so I'm feeling bad for him. I think, oh, my God, you know, he can write his own ticket. But no one has hired him. Why?
I don't know.
That's a good question. We don't know the answer to that.
And he's
that
put his name out there for a couple of jobs, hadn't he, since then? I don't know. That's a really good question, actually.
He hasn't developed a winning team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, I hold grudges. Yeah, Golden State's doing good. I like, you know, I like Klay Thompson. I like Steph Curry. I don't really like Kevin Durant. I'll be honest with you.
We know you don't.
Kevin, man.
Boogie Cousins. I don't know.
Mark Jackson and Van Gundy on TV are hysterical.
Oh, they are. Yes, I love it. I'd rather have them just in the booth at this point.
To them. They're just, it's like two buddies just hanging out in the stands talking basketball. Man.
Yeah, and I think Mark Jackson has a hard time every once in a while. I mean, he'll compliment Golden State.
You can hear him holding back a little bit.
Yeah, you can hear him holding back.
There's a little
bitterness
there.
And he doesn't
like
to give much to Steve Kerr either if you listen to it.
In his head, he's like, I built this team.
Yeah, exactly.
I built this team and handed it to you. So my question, are the Rockets back? Who would you pick to beat Golden State in a 7-game series right now? The Rockets, the Thunder, the Celtics, or the Bucks? Because the Rockets are 3-0 against Golden State this year. They have moved all the way up to the third spot in the Western Conference. They've won 7 straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Chris Paul is healthy finally. Looking back on it, it was probably better that he got hurt earlier in the year. If he can stay like this and stay healthy, they beat Golden State the other night without James Harden, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, they beat, was it the 76ers last night?
I believe so.
Man, I watched a little bit of that game. They look so
the Rockets.
They do
not care about 2-point shots.
Oh, man.
It's either threes or layups. That's all they care about.
Exactly. Nothing in between.
No, it's their whole game.
That's the only way you beat Golden State.
See, I don't know.
And Chris Paul is kind of menacing on defense.
He's a mean kid, man.
Yeah, he is, man.
I call him a kid.
Like, he's straight out of Winston-Salem, man.
He's old man game. He got old man game. He did. The point guard.
I mean, I love watching him play, though, man. He completely runs the whole floor.
He does.
He's awesome, man.
They are a different team. With them out there.
Capella is playing great.
He's healthy now.
Well, that's a bit because they lost him for quite a while.
Yeah, they did. They didn't have him at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year, they started off miserable.
They did.
They were awful.
So, you know what? We've been really hard on him here on the rundown, but I got to give James Harden some props because he kind of kept them together.
He carried
that streak
that
he had while Chris Paul was out. He was basically carrying the load for him. Although the other night, I forgot who they were playing. My man took like 5 steps on one of them step back threes.
Oh, he did.
He did like a double bunny hop. who were they playing? I can't remember now who they were playing. But like somebody came over to help. So like by the time he's shooting, there's a hand on one side in the air. And there's another guy like this other side.
Over.
But he went like hop and then shot it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, where does this end? Like how are they counting the hop? Because it's he's going back on the back foot, and then the other foot comes to it. Then he does it again.
And then he does it again.
So it's like that whole movement is a step, I guess. I don't know what they're. I went online. I looked.
Oh, no,
at
it was a travel.
I thought it was a travel.
It was definitely a travel.
I went online and looked at these. This guy had this instructional video on YouTube explaining why the James Harden step or whatever is not a travel, and like you have to do it in slow motion, but it has to do with his hand movement on the ball. The refs aren't counting the first step until he literally is pulling the ball back in, but he's almost cheating a step because he's kind of palming the ball when he starts that first hop. So they don't count that as the step. So he can do one bunny hop, another bunny hop, and then shoot. But as long as the ball is like out like this, if you think really you can do whatever you want to with your feet, as long as the ball is still, as long as your palm is above the ball. So you can tap dance, you can moonwalk, you can do whatever you want to do with it. It's not traveling until you pick the ball up, and then they count 1-2.
I just figured some of the refs were kind of superstar struck because if you remember.
For the beard?
Well, just in general, because if you remember, Kevin Durant was way out of bounds. When he got
that was just like drunk referees or something going on because that made zero sense when that happened.
What game were they at? Oh my god!
Something like if these guys get awestruck, I mean starstruck. What in the world is going
even
on?
Like, it would even like him stepping on the line. Like he ran like three full steps
out of bounds and then fell and threw the ball out. And I'm like, Mr. Ref,
the NBA refs. They, I mean, that's like the time Russell Westbrook took like 8 steps walking up the court.
And they didn't want to call it.
They almost didn't call it. Yeah.
He's talking to fans. He's yelling at the coach. He just carried the ball.
He ate a little popcorn.
And like finally somebody from other team is like, wait a minute. What's going on? I think it was Golden State. I think they're playing this Curry. Yeah. It's like, what is happening here?
And then Russell,
like, oh, yeah.
And then Russell Westbrook was like, you're calling me?
Yeah, it's like, what's happening?
Like, what are you doing?
Does it really matter?
The NBA refs, they do a fine job. They're trying to do their thing here.
So back to your question after we went off.
Yeah, that was awesome.
If you had to pick a team to beat Golden State in a 7-game series, who would it be?
Yeah.
Nobody. Seriously.
Really? I'm kind of leaning towards the Rockets.
I'm leaning towards the Rockets, too.
I first wrote this, I was going to say the Bucks, but the Rockets actually – the problem with the Rockets is if they get cold from three, then it turns into a really ugly game to watch because they're not going to stop shooting threes like last year in Game 7. They kept shooting them even though they couldn't hit. And they even in that game, they didn't get blown out. They probably should have been. It was still a little bit closer than it should have been.
I think it would be the Rockets. I mean, I think they match up pretty well. I think they match up pretty well. And then you have Chris Paul, who's going to shimmy all over Steph Curry to death. You know,
he does not like Steph Curry.
He does not.
They do not get along.
I'm going to tell you what. Chris Paul, I love him because he's straight out of Winston. Yep. He has that whole Winston-Salem mentality.
He's got that Trey-Vo mentality.
Trey-Vo, baby.
He got old man game. Chris Paul got old man game. The control booth is waving at me here. Which one of you guys?
I'll let Sawyer get it, but as a Winston-Salem native, I have to just let you know, Chris Paul is from Clemens, okay? He's from Clemens. It's not the same thing.
His granddaddy was from Winston-Salem, though. He can't claim the same thing.
Chris Paul straight out of East Winston.
Northside Brownsboro was happy.
Sawyer. I was going to say, I think the team that matches up well has got to be the Rockets, because after seeing, I saw Harden hit like a 30-foot step back over Kyrie and Tatum at the same
time.
That's
what it was. It was the Celtics.
I was like, dude, you can't guard that. Like, he's shooting it over anyone.
But
I mean,
that was a travel. Like, to me, I'm
if they're not calling it, that's 3 points.
That's true.
It's going to keep going in.
And he did the whole, like, Jordan left his hand up while the ball was in the air. And, like, Tatum is like this, like, with his arms all flailed out, trying to come over to help. Because Tatum tried to time it. Like, he knew he was going to do the step back and waited to jump until he did the second bunny hop because he knew he was going up with it. And he still couldn't get there in time. Harden, man, Harden might win the MVP just for what they did with the Rockets, keeping them afloat.
Boy, I'm really Paul George for some reason. I think
Paul George is good, too.
Yeah, I like Paul George.
He's having such a great year.
Yeah. We don't even have time to talk about the Lakers and LeBron. They don't even deserve to be talked about this week. We'll talk about them next week.
You're not going to talk about LeBron?
Nah.
You're talking about June with no LeBron?
No April, May, June without LeBron.
I mean, that's like Kool-Aid with no sugar. You know what I'm saying? That's like ham with no burger.
Real quick, I wasn't on the radio when I said this. But I told a friend of mine when the deal went down, when LeBron went to L.A., I told him, I said, LeBron will not win a championship in L.A.
Man, that doesn't count. You can't say that.
I wasn't on the radio, but I told a friend like five months ago. I wasn't here. I can't help that. But I said it out of my mouth. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, LeBron will not win a championship in L.A.
The makeup of the team doesn't work.
Sounds like a Winston-Salem guy.
Let's take a quick break. Come back. When we come back, we'll reset Sports Carolina Monthly contributor Mark Zanetto got a chance to chat with UNCG head coach Wes Miller. The Spartans are actually in action tonight. I didn't see who they're playing. I'm going to check that during the break. The quarterfinals of the Southern Conference tournament. They need to win this tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, which is crazy because the Spartans are 26-5 on the season. Play Kentucky at Rupp and lost. I think they played LSU and lost. So, I mean, they've got some quality matchups in there. I think they could beat NC State. Yeah. Did they play NC State this year?
They beat NC State.
Yeah. This UNCG
year.
Did?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's check this out. We'll get the lowdown on the Spartan season. Plus, we're not done with the greatest rivalry in all of sports. More Carolina Duke discussion next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Sports Carolina Monthly's Mark Zanetto sat down to chat with UNCG men's basketball coach Wes Miller to discuss the 2018-19 season. UNCG finished the season 26-5 overall and second in the SoCon with a 15-3 conference rating. UNCG will more than likely have to go through Furman and league leader Wofford to win the SoCon, two teams that have been ranked nationally this year in the top 25. Mark chops it up with Coach Miller from UNC Greensboro, now on The Rundown.
This is Mark Zanetto with The Rundown with Desmond Johnson here today with UNCG Spartans head coach Wes Miller. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Mark. Appreciate you having me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. So, Coach Miller, 3 years, 2016, 25 wins, 2017, 27 wins. This year, 26 wins and counting. This senior class is the winningest program in history with 93. How did you create such a winning culture in Greensboro?
Wow. Well, you know, we haven't done a lot of reflecting, but you hear that kind of stuff and it does make you take a step back. I don't know that I did anything, Mark. Obviously, I've been a part of it, but I think, you know, any type of success that we've had here over the last handful of years, I think is derived from some young people that have decided to believe in us and, you know, dive 2 feet in with us to what we're trying to do. And when I hear stuff like that, or I get asked questions like that, I immediately think of, you know, Deontay Baldwin, R.J. White, Nicholas Paulus, Jordy Kuiper, Marvin Smith, Francis Alonzo, Demetrius. I mean, you just kind of the list goes on. And I think we've been fortunate to have a number of young men that have said, hey, we're going to dive 2 feet in with this bunch. Even though they haven't been having success, we're going to believe in, you know, this young head coach, even though he hasn't had any proven success. And when people believe in, you know, the same thing or some kind of common cause, cool things happen. And we've been able to have some groups that have really believed in that.
Yeah, you're heading into the SoCon tournament, obviously. What's special about being in Asheville as you go for a second consecutive tournament title and a second consecutive berth in the NCAA tournament?
Well, listen, our league, the Southern Conference, does the conference tournament as good as any mid-major league in America. I mean, Asheville is a great host. It's a great city for fans and alumni and families to visit to watch the tournament. We get great crowds. The Civic Center is a perfect size for our tournament. I mean, the games there feel like NCAA tournament games with the tension and the environment. So Asheville and the Southern Conference just do an unbelievable job. And you know, we get excited about this weekend every year because of that environment. For us, Mark, we really don't think of it as a tournament in terms of our preparation. We think of it as one game on Saturday. You know, we have one game Saturday, and we got to prepare to win one game. If we're fortunate enough to figure out how to do that, then we'll get to the next thing on the next day. But we try not to think of it as a three-game tournament and think about it just as one game on Saturday. And if we're fortunate enough to stick around when that's over, then we'll figure out what to do next.
So Dean Smith used to say 9 times out of 10, the teams with the better players wins. Can you talk about the special season some of your Spartans have had, in particular sophomore Isaiah Miller and senior Francis Alonzo?
Yeah, Coach Smith knew what he was talking about with a lot of stuff. Huh? But we have terrific talent and some terrific players on our roster. So we're not suffering from a lack of talent by any stretch. You know, Francis, I think he's one of the best shooters in America. And I think he's proven that year in, year out. And he's not getting great looks. You know, I mean, the way he's guarded and the attention he gets, I've never seen anything like it. But I've never coached anybody like him. And he continues to shoot it at a ridiculous clip in all kinds of ways. Everybody talks about Steph Curry as the greatest shooter, and I believe that as well. But what amazes me when I watch Steph Curry is he can make them so many different kinds of ways, off the catch, off the bounce, off the dribble, you know, off 1 foot, you know, runners. You know, Francis has an elite level of shot-making ability, too, in multiple ways. But I don't think shooting is what totally defines him as a great player. And I think that's what makes him so unique, is he does shoot it at this incredible clip, but he's so much more than that as a player. He probably creates more offense for our team by two than anybody else on our roster. And, I mean, creating opportunities for other people by, you know, putting the defense in transition and making the right play with the ball. So it's hard to measure what he's meant to this program and this team because it's so great. And, you know, I'm just thrilled that I've had the opportunity to coach him the last 4 years, and, you know, I hope I got a little more time to coach him left here. And then, you know, you mentioned Isaiah Miller, just his development the last, you know, year and a half mark is incredible. He came in as an unbelievable competitor, just a phenomenal, you know, high character young man. There's a lot of qualities that we can't take any credit for because he walked through the door with them. But the one thing that's changed is his skill level and his ability to make plays offensively, whether it's, you know, handling it with both hands, reading ball screens, you know, getting downhill in certain types of action, reading screens off the ball, you know, being a threat to shoot behind the three-point line. Those are things that a year and a half ago he didn't do at a very high level. He's doing them at a high level now, and it's because of his work ethic. He's just an unbelievable worker. He's such a humble young man for as gifted as he is. And, you know, we're thrilled that he's had a terrific year to this point.
Coach, we talked about this in the past. I don't think we hear about how good a job assistant coaches do behind the scenes enough. Can you talk about the job your staff does, Mike Roberts, Kyle Bankhead, Andre Gray, and Chris Lepore?
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I don't think any of us do it alone. There's like a quote, we used to be the thought of the day when I was playing for Coach Williams at Carolina every once in a while. You know, the high, and I might butcher it, but I think everybody will get the idea. You know, the higher you go, the more you rely on others, or something along those lines. But, you know, the more success that we've had as a program and organization, it's due to a combination of lots of people. And I've been fortunate to have a staff that just makes me look a heck of a lot better than I am. And, you know, their work ethic's tremendous. Their loyalty's tremendous. They're all great teachers. They all have a tremendous amount of pride in being at UNCG and in our program. They all have great relationships with the young people in our program. You know, those are some characteristics that they have across the board. But I also think the neat thing about my staff is they're also really diverse personalities, and they have some really diverse strengths across the board too, and that's really helped us. I really valued how they challenged me. You know, I don't have a bunch of yes men. Sometimes people see that, you know, during games with Mike and I challenging each other during a game, but we really value, you know, that type of a culture where, you know, we can all challenge each other on a day-to-day basis, but also realize that when decisions are made, we're all on the same page and all bought in and 2 feet into what we're doing. So, no, thank you for bringing that up. I have a tremendous staff, and I could talk forever about each of them, but I'm really fortunate.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you touched on this earlier in the interview, you know, looking at potential matchups, not in particular who you're going to play, but how hard is it, you know, bringing in your staff to the equation to prepare for each one game tournament, as you put it, in a win or go home scenario?
Well, yeah, again, we're thinking about it as one game. So myself, our players, you know, that's the mindset that we're trying to have as a program. But this is where, you know, having a great staff is so important. My assistants have to kind of look ahead and, you know, with the different scouts, the potential games we could play, and they have to prepare for those right now all week long, watching film, breaking down tape, coming up with suggestions of, you know, strategy that we should apply if we get to those games. Because I'm not going to allow myself to get there. I'm not going to allow our team to get there. And they're going to be behind closed doors, you know, working their tails off, you know, making sure that all of our scouts are in order if we are fortunate enough to advance and play more than one game.
And finally, Coach, who do you think is more stressed during close games, you guys and your staff or family members who come and watch?
I would say, without question, family members and friends that are watching. You know, because when you're in the heat of competition, as we all know, you know, you don't have time to think about how stressed you are. You're just, you know, at least we're trying to be lost in the moment, just trying to win the next possession. You know, I always say that, you know, we do our best. I say this to our team, we have a free mind. And, you know, people use the term lose yourself in the game. But when you're in the middle of competition and you're just trying to do anything to win the next moment, you have this free mind and you're stress-free and in the zone and all those type of – all that talk that we've heard over the years to try to describe that moment. When you're in the stands, man, you're just stressing because you have no control. So I know, you know, watching the tape, sometimes I can see my wife or my dad or my mom behind the bench and their reactions to things, and they look a lot more stressed out than I do.
Well, thanks, Coach. I appreciate your time and, you know, wish you the best of luck in the SoCon tournament this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you having me as always.
That's head coach Wes Miller from the UNCG Spartans. This is Mark Zanetto. Now back to the fellows with the rundown.
Back to UNC and Duke. Who are the most hated players in this rivalry ever? Let's fill up the phone lines, 336-777-1600. We'll give you our guys. You can call in and give us yours. Who are the players that broke your heart, rubbed you the wrong way, or you just generally hated? We are here for the petty today. It's UNC versus Duke, the best rivalry in all of sports, next on the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah!
Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Hello, UNC versus Duke talk on this rainy Saturday. You are locked into the Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O and Rod Funderburk in the house. Intern Aaron in here shooting this segment. Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire, man in the wheels of steel. This segment brought to you by Giada's Trattoria. Giada's Trattoria restaurant in Kernersville on Main Street with their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza. Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. So we're going to get right into the hate, because that's what today's really all about. It's about the hatred that one side has for the other and vice versa. And really, the North Carolina-Duke rivalry has turned more from the players and the coaches to the fans. Like, the fans have taken over this rivalry where it's year-round. I admin a couple of UNC-Duke groups on Facebook. I've been poking the bear a little bit this week. Not too much, because I've learned my lesson off of one of the guys that's actually on my list of most hated players in this rivalry. But I've learned not to talk too much smack before we go into a game that we should win.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll start this off then based off of that. 2012, Austin Rivers broke my heart. Carolina had one of the top teams in the country. Mm-hmm. They were steamrolling towards a rematch with Kentucky and Anthony Davis for the national championship. They were literally 1-2 all year. If you remember, Carolina and Kentucky played in that December, and it came down to a last-second shot. John Henson got blocked by Anthony Davis at the very end of the game, and Kentucky won by like 1 or 2 points. That game, Carolina led the whole time. The sequence at the end was weird. Tyler Zeller accidentally tipped the ball in for Duke that I believe tied it at that point.
Yep.
And then at the very end, Austin Rivers just hits this dagger three that haunts my dreams to this day, and they end up winning that contest in the Dean Dome.
He was falling out of bounds on
that. He was. And it was pure. Like, the shot was pure. But, like, the reason why, it's not so much of that shot, although it's one of the best shots in this rivalry. Back then on my Facebook, you could actually post to my wall. Like, you could come in and say, hey, Des, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. When I woke up that next morning, I think it was a Sunday, First of all, I didn't want to go to work. Like I felt so sick that because of the way they lost, I did not want to go to work. But I opened up my Facebook, and I literally had about 400 posts on my wall from people I haven't spoke to since the fifth grade.
Wow.
Former coworkers, former managers of mine, like just people that like Duke. And like what would happen was the Duke fans, they don't say anything really before the game. Like they never really talk a lot of smack unless they know.
They didn't expect to win.
They didn't expect to win. But if they win, like if they win tonight, mm-hmm. boy, oh, just stay off Facebook because they'll come all out the woodwork and act like they never pretended like this game was going to have an asterisk if we won because Zion wasn't playing. That's what happened that night. And I literally got to the point where I almost shut my Facebook page down because I couldn't. I had to weed through all this stuff, and then I finally figured out, okay, I'll just stop it from people posting to it. But Austin Rivers is the reason why, and right now he's probably tops on my list of terms of Duke Blue Devils that I can't stand.
I understand.
Johnny O, now you're not a Carolina or a Duke fan. Right. You are so Syracuse affiliated.
That's right. So I'm from the outside, and I love basketball. I love watching great talent, and I'll watch – you know, it doesn't matter what game it is. If it's going to be good talent on, and Duke has had some great talent throughout the years, obviously. So I would definitely watch that. But there's one guy that I just could not stand watching.
Usually how it goes.
Name is Grayson Allen.
Oh, it's fresh.
Oh, yeah.
That's new.
I would not watch Duke because of him. That puke face he had. That, everything he did, his mannerisms.
Talk to him.
I don't even think he was that good. No, he was actually a very good basketball player.
They just sent him to the G League like a week or two ago. Good. The Jazz.
Keep him in the G League.
My good.
Keep him way
banish
out.
Him.
I guess he's out in Utah or something.
Yeah, he was in Utah.
He turned into your typical Duke player.
But he would I just could not stand watching him. So I'm going to say, there's a couple others, but Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
We could probably build a team. Yeah. It can't be all Duke now. I know there's some Carolina fans. Or kind of Carolina players
that the second round. Man. We can't bash our own guys.
Let me get the rod, and then I think Sawyer wants to chime in also.
Well, man, I agree with you on what you said about people coming out of the woodworks whenever they win a game wasn't expected. You know, there was these two guys who I usually go to the gym at the YMCA with, and they're huge Duke fans. One's name is Adam, and I forgot the other guy's name. But anyway, usually when I work out, I have my Carolina gear on when I'm working out. And, this guy, he came up to me and had his hands all in the air, like, what are you wearing, man? What are you wearing? This is before the first Carolina game.
Right.
He was doing it so much, I was like, what's this dude's problem? I didn't realize I had my Carolina gear on,
Yeah.
And then so he finally let it be known, hey, you're a Carolina fan, I'm a Duke fan. And he talked trash. And I got to be honest with you, when we won that game, I hadn't seen him at the Y since.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah,
they disappeared.
Not once. Yeah, he just completely got ghost. But there is one player who I hated with a capital H. He was back in the 90s. He was on that team that won the two NCAA championship games.
I don't know where this might be going.
He was a big whiner by the name of Bobby Hurley. I mean, now granted, he was a pretty good player. I mean, Duke retired his jersey and all that good stuff. But what I hated about Bobby, man, was he was so scrappy. Like, what I saw in him, I wanted in Carolina's team at the time. Because I think we had J.R. Reed.
Yep, the late 80s,
Kevin
early 90s.
Salvadori, mm-hmm. Yeah, all those guys on our team. And they were just so – and he was so scrappy, and he chased every ball. He dived on the floor. And what I saw in him is what I wanted Carolina to be.
Is that King Rice?
Yeah, I think that may have been King Rice and Rick Fox during that time frame. Yeah. That was when Duke beat the undefeated UNLV team at the time.
Yes.
And then they went on to beat Roy Williams' Kansas in the championship game. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
I remember.
Yeah, but it was that
happened.
So, I mean, Bobby Hurley, now don't get me wrong, he's a pretty decent player. But what I saw in him is what I needed from my Carolina guys that I wasn't getting. So I think that's why I hated him so much. But the biggest thing about Hurley, he was a huge whiner. He took whining to a whole nother art form.
And he's still doing it coaching. I've watched him coach.
Arizona State.
Yeah. It's like he's got a patent on how to whine. I don't know what this guy's problem is, man.
Sawyer.
Mine was so I'll go with John here. But Grayson Allen, I mean, I didn't want to watch games because I would just get so frustrated. Like everything he would do, because he was so good, it was like he was so pesky. You know, he would try hard and everything. But I actually met him. I was in the airport flying to Florida, and he was just sitting there, just chilling on his phone. And I was like, "Do I go say something to him or whatever?" I was like, "All right, whatever. I'll just go up." He was just hanging out, so I went up to him. We talked for a couple minutes. And we got a picture, and I was like, he was a super nice guy, and I was like, I hate this. Like, I want to be
makes
like
you hate him more.
Like,
yeah.
Why is he like? Why did he have to play ball the way he did? Because he was so good. And I was like, why does he have to like? And everyone was like, hey, the guy that trips people's over there. I'm like, dang, like, dude, you had it. Like, you were so good, you could have just kept playing, but you had to play dirty.
Why was he tripping people? And he was tripping like he tripped the dude from Elon. Yeah, I remember that at the Coliseum. Yeah. It's like, and then he had that meltdown. It's like, dude, why are you tripping? You're at Duke. Why are you tripping a kid from Elon? And then having a temper tantrum on the sideline, oh, like no one can see you. Yeah. Like it, that, yeah. Grayson's up there too. Now, intern Aaron is not a Carolina or a Duke fan, and he proclaimed he hates everyone. So I'm hoping that he can shift this to a Carolina player just to kind of even it out a little bit, because I do want to be fair as much as we'll allow in this segment.
I'd be the bad guy.
All right,
that's fine.
Go ahead.
It's one person in this entire Duke Carolina rivalry that I just wish all the bad things in life on.
Oh, wow.
That's Tyler Hansborough.
Tyler Hansborough?
I hate me some Tyler Hansborough.
Wow. Okay, let's go in
there
on this.
There are a lot of Duke fans who hate him.
Man.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Mother bleep that guy. I don't know what it was really about Tyler Hansborough. Maybe it's because of the fact that he wasn't that doggone good.
He was good.
He was not good.
He wasn't athletic or coordinated.
He was clumsy.
He worked hard.
Oldish. He worked hard.
He was a great college basketball
bull
player.
In a China
Which is
shop.
Usually what you say about garbage basketball players.
Like I just said,
isn't he the leading ACC scorer of all time?
Yeah, he really did not have a shot. He just he was awkward. But
let me go look up Tyler Cyclotes.
Oh, he's got some great stats. He's an All-American.
Look up and see what he did here. So you're hating on a guy, and we're not supposed to be in the segment. We're not supposed to be defending the hate, but I gotta. So you're defending a guy. He won the national championship in 2009. He was College Player of the Year in 2008. Three-time consensus first-team All-American.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of that. Screw Tyler Hansborough.
He stinks, doesn't he?
ACC Player of the Year. Four-time first-team All-ACC.
Oh, my gosh.
Never lost in Cameron. Yeah, I can see why
Duke
fans would hate him.
He had the most annoying face.
I like this. Desmond's like, all right, someone needs to talk about a Carolina player. Desmond's like, what do you mean, Tyler Hansborough?
He's pulling up four different computers. Look at the stats this guy's got.
But that's a good one. Tyler's a good one. I'll give you Tyler.
It is a good one.
I don't think any of this kind of conversation about Carolina and Duke and players that are most hated, you can't have it without the man who has a 30 for 30 on the fact that everybody hates him, and that would be Christian Laettner.
Oh,
I mean, that dude took, like, we're sitting here talking about how I love pettiness. He took that to a whole other level.
Yes,
like,
he did.
People thought he was like this rich kid or whatever because he was at Duke and the way he looked and everything. If you've watched that 30 for 30, he came from like the sticks. Like, he came from like a working class family.
Buffalo,
up towards your neck of the woods, right? Yeah. So he worked hard. He had a sweet jump shot. He could hit threes back in like 91 when it was weird to see a 6'11 guy out there doing that. He rebounded. He just did everything right. But then he had this extra level of just like, who was the guy he stepped on in that Kentucky game? He should have been ejected for it. They didn't eject him, and then he ends up going 10 for 10 from the field and 10 for 10 from the line, and he hits the game winner. That was probably one of the best college basketball games I've ever seen.
Yep.
I was with a friend. I'm probably 12, 13 during that stretch, and I was at a friend's house. We were watching that Kentucky-Duke game, and this was 92. Yeah,
this was 92. Aminu Timberlake.
Aminu Timberlake. That's right. So Laettner steps on the guy's chest while he's on the ground. They didn't eject him to keep him in the game. And my friend's dad was talking a lot of smack because he was a Duke fan. So he would run across the house because we were in my friend's room watching it, and he would talk smack, and then he'd get quiet when Kentucky make a run or whatever. And when Laettner hit that shot, and like me and my friend were just shocked. We didn't make a sound. We were just sitting there with our mouths open, and about 5 seconds went by, and all of a sudden – my friend's dad pokes his head in the door and just stares at us and then walks away. And I was just like, that in a nutshell kind of simplified like what we felt towards Christian Laettner. It's like he could not lose. He went to four Final Fours in a row. Like every year he was in college, ended with him in the Final Four. And the last 3 years he was in the national championship game. Like, I don't know if that's going to ever happen again.
I tell you what, he's on my Mount Rushmore for college basketball players.
Oh, yeah. I think
Seriously.
You got it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do that real quick. So it would be like Laettner, probably Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton.
You got to put those two on. Christian Laettner and, I always mention this guy.
Got to have David Thompson.
Pete Maravich, man.
Pete Maravich, man.
44 a game in his career.
I was looking at his stats the other day, and I was like, how in the world with no three-point shot did this dude score like 4,400 points for like a 4-year career.
Yeah, 3 years.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Wow, like because they were showing like the kid from Campbell, Chris Clemens, that's like moved up in the scoring category, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, who's number one? And it was like Pete Maravich, but he's so far ahead of everybody. I was like, did he play like a fifth year in like college or something? Or
he only played like, he only played 3 years. And coach Dale, what was the LSU coach? Dale.
Oh, Dale Ellis. No, that would have been
Dale. Oh my gosh, Coach Dale. He coached Shaq as well. But anyway,
I think it was Dale.
He went back and watched every one of Pete Maravich's games. Now he averaged 44 points a game.
Who coached Shaq? Who coached Shaq in college?
Trying to get the control room to. Was it Dale Ellis? No, Dale Ellis was a basketball player.
I cannot believe I can't think it was.
I know, like we went
bad. But anyway, he went back and watched every one of the games and made a 3-point line on there. He would have averaged 58 points a game if there was a 3-point line because he bombed away from the outside.
That is nuts. And he was basically like Steph Curry. Like he could dribble.
Yep.
I mean, like he could really dribble. I think we got who was the coach?
Dale Brown.
Dale Brown. That's what it was. We're getting old, John. We're having memory lapses and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Aaron's the only person that's really giving us UNC players.
I've got a UNC player for you if you want him.
Okay, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, he was a guy who was in school. When I was in school, we were actually friends in school. Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace.
Congrats to Rasheed, too.
Yeah, he just got a job at Jordan High School, I think it was.
And we were talking about this on the drive.
My prediction, he'll last 4 games and get kicked out of the league.
Don't lie.
They will put Rasheed out.
Before you go any further, I just need to mention that down the road from him, former Tar Heel David Noel is the coach. I think it's Southern Nash. So they're going to actually play each other. It'll be Rasheed's team against David Noel's team sometime during the season. I think they're in the same conference now. So that'll be, and they'll both be playing in Durham. So go figure.
Yeah, but, that'd be cool. That'd be real cool.
But yeah, Rasheed, man, Rasheed got on some people's nerves. I liked him because he would yell when he would dunk. I know it sounds simple, but every dunk he did, he's like, he's like, in a fight or something. I loved it.
That was Rasheed Wallace. I mean, people hated him
go ahead.
Because of his antics on and off the court. Absolutely. I mean, when he went on the court, he talked trash from the moment he stepped on to the moment he walked off. Like, I think him and Cherokee Parks were going to fight one time in Cameron Indoor Stadium because he would just keep jawing in Cherokee's face. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we were playing, UNC was playing Kentucky. And Rasheed Wallace grabbed whoever Kentucky center was at the time. He grabbed him by the throat because the guy had fouled Rasheed hard, and then he started talking trash back to Rasheed. Next thing you know, Rasheed has the guy by his throat. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. He's arrogant. He talked trash, but the thing with Rasheed, he would back it up, and he would dunk on you. And he would look at you like, what are you going
to
do?
He brought that to the NBA, too. He did. Exact same thing. When I saw this segment, I'm thinking, most hated players in the UNC-Duke rivalry. A few Duke guys came up, and I could not find, one that I could not stand, from UNC. I really could not. But one of them, one just came to mind. And I didn't mind him, but if I have to come up with one. J.R. Reed, I was not a fan.
Really?
I was not a fan of J.R. Reed.
I'm curious for this one. What was it with J.R.?
And I'm trying to think back. I think Carolina beat Syracuse out in the recruiting war for him.
Sam Perkins,
you guys beat us on, too. But I think it was J.R. Reed, and I never liked him after that.
336-777-1600 is the number to call, or you can hit us at Sports Hub Triad regarding this. Before we take our final break, Aaron, do you have an update on the poll question of the day? It was a very simple question. Who's going to win today, third-ranked Carolina or fourth-ranked Duke? What say you, sir?
According to the people are officially off the Duke bandwagon.
Uh-oh.
80% for UNC, 20% for Duke.
I wonder how much that jumped after our announcement at 11 that Zion wasn't going to be playing in this game tonight.
I saw it. It was like 60-30 around that time.
Somebody was like, oh, nope.
80-20, so.
Can't ride that boat anymore. I wonder what the spread's going to be by the time we get to 6 o'clock, too. Because it's been around 2-3 points, but that was with the hope that Zion might play. I hate that they're treating this kid like he's Superman. Like, I mean, he's great. He's really good. But one kid can't beat a team that's 11 deep. I don't care who he is. Like, it's not – if he played today, I don't know for sure that
I don't.
No, I mean, I see what you're saying. It's not for like, sure.
I can't figure out how to explain this
in
my mind.
It's not for sure that Duke would win if he was playing, but that spread would be very, very close.
Yeah, it'd probably stick around where it is. Yeah. I think it's going to get up to 5 or 6 before we get to 6 o'clock.
Let's just put it this way. If Zion was playing, Duke would have a good chance of winning. Just
of course. Yeah, it could go either way. Yes, it could go either way. As a matter of fact, if Zion was playing, I would expect Duke to win because normally we split with Duke every year.
I said that Friday. Normally I expect a split. Now, I will say, just looking at what's happened this year, the one loss that Duke had full strength was to Gonzaga. Gonzaga plays the same way Carolina does in terms of up-tempo, like go in terms of possessions. As a matter of fact, I think they're the only team that scores more points than Carolina points per game. They're like at 90 a game or something like that. So I'm looking at it that way. Like if Gonzaga could run these boys up and down the court the way they did earlier in the year, and then Carolina literally did the same thing, I don't think they're going to do anything different. And I don't know if Zion out there is going to change that.
No, Zion probably wouldn't change it. I mean, especially when you got him running up and down the court. He's got a knee issue. And then you're going to have Luke May on the other side of him as they're running down the court. Luke May's just going to tap him on the knee and say, how's it going there, big buddy? I mean, they can't have that happen, you know.
Let's take our last break. When we come back, odds and ends, rapid fire round. We get 1 minute to debate random topics. You don't want to miss it. Next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right. Tonight on the Sports Hub, Kemba Walker and the Charlotte Hornets take on the Milwaukee Bucks. With the best record in basketball, that's 9 p.m. right here on the Sports Hub. Chris Kroger and Matt Carroll on the call. Shout out to Kroger and all the guys over at the Hornets. They had an affiliate night last night. Our leader, our GM, Al Bunch, our do-it-all, Heidi Pratt, and a few others from the station got a chance to go have some fun in a suite. And I got a chance to watch a Hornets win, actually, against the Wizards last night. So good for them. Visit SportsHubTriad.com to download the latest episodes of The Rundown with Desmond Johnson and The Drive with Josh Graham. Get your sports fix 24/7 at SportsHubTriad.com. They are right on the homepage. You just go click on download on the file. It'll go right to your phone. You can listen to it whenever. Sawyer, let's set a stop clock for 1 minute. At the end of 1 minute, we will hear a buzzer sound. 5 topics, rapid fire. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Starting off. Better shot to make the NCAA tournament, NC State or UNCG?
I'll go real quick first here. Well, NC State needs to win today. I think they're at Boston College.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. If they win today, they'll go 9-9 in the ACC regular season, and UNCG has to win their tournament, which I would love to see. Boy, they deserve
I meant
to
pull
to
up
in.
Their tournament bracket. Let me just see real
quick. Yeah, I mean, if they don't have to play Wofford, they can maybe win that tournament.
They're probably going to have to play Wofford, probably in the championship game if they both get that far.
So the answer to better shot to make the NCAA tournament, if you're asking me this morning at 11:49, I'm going to have to say NC State, just because they're in the ACC. But UNCG deserves it more, I think.
I think... What I hope happens is that UNCG wins the SoCon because Wofford's going to get in as at-large if they don't win the SoCon because they're top 25 team at this point. If UNCG wins the SoCon tournament, they'll get in. NC State, I have no confidence in whatsoever. They scored 24 points in a regular season game. I mean, no.
All right. I forgot about
Go
that.
Ahead,
next up, the Denver Nuggets are the second best team in the Western Conference. Buy or sell?
Rod?
I am definitely buying that Denver Nuggets is the second best team. I did see them play the Warriors last night. They came back on the Warriors. They were down by like 16 points at one particular time, and then they came right back on the Warriors, and it was a heck of a game. You know, the Nuggets have a young team, and they actually did better last year than what they thought that they were going to do. And with that, when you have a young team, you're going deep in the playoffs. They're gradually building and building and building and getting better and better and better. I expect them to make some serious noise in the Western Conference playoffs.
I'm selling. Houston Rockets are the second best
team. I was going to say I'm selling too. The Rockets are 40-25. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they've won 7 in a row. The Nuggets are 6-4, and they've lost one. Well, they just lost to the Warriors, but I think before the season is over, the Rockets have a good chance to catch the Nuggets. They're only 3 games back.
with, what, 15 to go or something like that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets are the 2 seed by the time this is over in the West. Sorry.
All right, next up, Raleigh has emerged as a potential destination for Major League Baseball expansion in the future. Better spot for an expansion team, Raleigh, Charlotte, or the Triad?
Well, the Triad already screwed up about 15 years ago.
They did.
When we had a shot at that. I was dying for that. As a baseball fanatic, I want it to come to the Carolinas so bad. My answer to that, I'm thinking Raleigh now. I always thought Charlotte, but I think Raleigh would be a good spot for Major League Baseball.
Like the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area.
Yes.
I mean, they've got the Hurricanes there. The only issue I brought up with this when we kind of started talking about this last week during the drive, there's 162 games in a Major League Baseball schedule, so you got 81 home games you have to worry about putting people in the stands. Most of those games aren't at night, right? Aren't they like day games and stuff kind of sprinkled in? Or
sprinkled in, but mostly are night games.
I'd be more concerned about Raleigh being able to withstand 81 games of trying to get people in seats. Now, the Triad logistically would make, I guess, sense, because if you put it like out where
located,
like where FedEx is in Kernersville, like between the 240s where they looked at before, that would have made sense because you can get there within an hour or 2 hours of any of the major spots. But go ahead, sorry.
All right, who is one team in the Final Four, or who is one team that you think can make the Final Four that may be getting overlooked right now?
Ron?
Someone that could make it getting overlooked. I think they're currently considered a 4 seed. I was thinking about Texas Tech. These guys are playing top 10 defense in the nation. They're actually averaging less than a point per possession, which is 0.85 points per possession. Now, when you're playing that kind of defense, that's all you need sometimes to win some of these close games. And in tournament play, it's all about the way you match up, play defense, and rebound. If they can do that, I think Texas Tech has an opportunity to possibly make the Final Four and be that sleeper team that no one has thought about.
I've been high on this team all year. I'm going to say the Michigan Wolverines. They're a 2 seed right now in Joe Leonardi's bracketology. They were in the national championship game last year in the Final Four. They have experience. They're a little banged up right now. They got to play Michigan State tonight after Carolina Duke. They're showing as a 2 right now, but defensively, there's only a couple of teams better than them defensively in the country, and they have experience. And in March, you need experience to really do anything. And I think Michigan, if you see them on your bracket, I would punch them to go pretty far. Sorry.
All right, next, Denver Broncos agree to trade quarterback Case Keenum to the Washington Redskins this week. Broncos have a deal in place for Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco. Who has a better QB situation, Washington or Denver?
I'm a little confused on this. Number one, I think Case Keenum going to Washington was a great move for the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
But, this Joe Flacco, I mean, he hasn't done anything in a couple years, and what's all of a sudden he's going to be the Joe Flacco of old, and even the Joe Flacco of old was questioned when he won Super Bowl.
He was.
You know what I mean? So,
he was.
I don't know what this deal is that Joe Flacco, I would have kept Case Keenum if I was the Denver Broncos.
I think that's just it. The Joe Flacco of old is all that the Broncos need. They have a heck of a defense except for a few issues at the secondary. So they're going to be good. So with the Broncos, they just need a quarterback who can manage the game. When he comes in, manage the game, just don't lose it. Let the defense take care of it. Then the Broncos can go into the draft, get a cornerback high, get a quarterback later on to come behind and develop for Flacco. Granted, Flacco is not the long-term need, but he does fulfill a need, because in Denver, Case Keenum only completed, I think it was 19 touchdown passes all year long.
He really only had one good year, and that was in Minnesota, right?
That's two years ago.
But I mean, he had Adam Thielen to throw to. He had some help in the running back category. He had a great defense from Minnesota that year.
This is a John Elway panic move.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think Joe Flacco's it.
No, he's definitely
he's
not
be
long
able to
term.
Help them out.
I think he's just a game manager. He allows them to be able to run the ball, not turn it over, and let the defense handle their business while they develop a young quarterback through the draft.
Man, well, this was the quickest 2 hours, I swear. This is the quickest 2 hours of my week.
Has it been 2 hours already?
It's been 2 hours, man. Y'all can catch us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. Everywhere you find podcasts, you can catch us there. Download the free WSGS Sports Hub app from Google Play or iTunes. You can download the show.